It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Americans, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here in Gals, Texas at Float Fest 2022. And we're talking with Danny Sessom, hush.is. We're going to find out about that. You know, we're going to talk to Danny Sessom. He's a world Western Hemisphere traveler, you know, and at Narcopoco, he's a big hit down there. And he's up in Texas now. Central Texas entrepreneur gone a narco nomad, living as free as I desire on my own terms. The Ron Paul craze brought him to crypto, and crypto brought him to untethered freedom. He still intermittently produces the episodes of The Crypto Show that he's well known for, and he does it intermittently, whatever the hell he feels like it, and work on various humanitarian and charity projects. You know, Danny's always known he'd taken care of the less privileged, and he puts a lot of effort into it, too. I do, this is him writing it, so I do travel blog on YouTube called NRV Adventure. NRV, Anarchist RV Adventure.
It sounds like anarchy, but it's NRV. Wait, I don't want to scare away the normies.
No, that's awesome, NRV. NRV Adventure. That's cool, man, you know. Where he travels around the U.S. and Mexico on Bitcoin and other cryptos. He currently works on marketing for Hush.is, which we're going to talk about, the most extremely private cryptocurrency and messaging system on the planet. Messaging system, messaging. We'll talk about that. Hush has the highest anon set and best practices to guard against data leakage. I'm also releasing a privacy coin that is a fork of Hush called DragonX, as well as meme coin called Monero, not Monero. Manuro shitcoins.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah, ain't that some shit? Manuro. We're talking about that. It's a really cool idea on the Aspire blockchain, whatever that is. We'll find out. Manuro.io. Danny is speaking at, and you know, a lot of well, he's going to be extreme privacy here at Float Fest. Now, is that today?
It was yesterday.
Last night. Oh, I missed that. Of course, that's what we get to talk about now. And I get a special version. Of Hush.is, extreme privacy is what his presentation was. Okay, this you'll see some pictures up here. I took the drone out and just did, you know, some pictures. They went big RV this year. I mean, you know, they got their wagon circle train, whatever, you know, out there, and parties all over, and you just, you know, walk in and, you know, have another party. They got the VIP tent, which is, you know, fortunately we get, like, free, and, you know, how much alcohol can they serve? And they're doing a pretty good job, you know, give them a good tip, and, you know, going, oh, that's a good picture, Donna. Oh, she took that one. The so we're here enjoying seeing a lot of old friends and everything. It, you know, it's a really a – it's kind of like a salmon thing, you know. You have certain festivals, you just wind up being there, you know, that just happens. Now, Texas, this time of year, we just came from Midfest, which is north a few hundred miles, and spring is just starting, you know, all the buds on the trees and everything, and then like a day or two, and boom, leaves, you know, and that is, Midfest does that in April and March, April, around in there, and then a fall one in October, and you get the leaves changing, everything's all the beautiful autumn colors, and then spring. So that's kind of cool they do it, you know, twice a year. That time that was a good idea, you know, Mike had. And then
It might be better here for March. I mean, if you're going to be in Central Texas, March is a great time because that's when the blue bonnets are out. And I mean, just everywhere you look, the blue bonnets are pretty damn cool.
Blue bonnet.
Yeah,
that's where that comes from.
It's a Texas thing. Yeah.
It's a Texas thing. It's always blue bonnet this, blue bonnet Westerns, blue bonnet, and that's what they're talking about.
Right.
The blue bonnet bloom. That's very cool. Well, lots of over the years, and Danny probably attests to this more than most. As over the years, you have the looky-loos kind of come and go, and it's good to get them exposed to what's possible and kind of the attitude. Like we were just before we were doing the show, a guy had a nice one of those little square Webers or whatever that he's, and he had a coal bucket, that he's getting a little bit of coal. So he's going up, where the hell are you going with the barbecue? And he's going, well, we'll go up to the food circle. You'll see one of the big circles if that's where all the food is. A lot of good food.
Yeah.
This is probably better food than a lot of festivals, I bet. I mean, it is awesome meats and so on, organic everything and stuff. So he's going up there. He's going to sell burgers. And he goes, well, maybe outside the circle. I would get in the way. Get in the way. You're freaking 2 square feet.
Yeah.
So I'm going, just pull it up in the next to one of the picnic tables up there, and, you got a business. And he goes, well, do I ask somebody,
Where's my permission slip?
We're going, if you think you need permission, you deserve to be told no, So he's up there doing it. We'll go get a burger from him or something, maybe a little bit. The you're going to Float Fest. You put that as a standard on your list. I mean, why? Because it's Texas?
Well, hell yeah. No, I use Float, and I love the people to work with. Actually, one of the lead devs for Float is my former co-host with the Crypto Show. And he still does. We still do some stuff together every once in a while. And it's Chuck Williams. He was a former dev. He was a front-end dev for Dash when I was sponsored by Dash.
Really?
So he and I did we did all of the Bloomberg Radio stuff together.
Really? Yeah, I had Chuck in. So you guys worked together quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know Chuck from that. I got to know him as one of the devs for Float now.
Yeah.
Or CXO, where hell that is.
Yeah.
Chief Technical Officer. And I go, well, what does that do? Well, I just kind of direct and I get a title.
Yeah.
You got initials. And he and Alex, are both CXOs for Float. And I told Derek about it, and he goes, well, what's a CXO? I go, well, they're the chief technical officer, and what do they do? Well, they just make sure, stuff. And he goes, are there any meetings? No, he goes, well, I'm a CXO now.
Yeah, right.
I have absconded that title. That's all I'm going to be. So,
well, I mean, Chuck's done some pretty good stuff. I think he's got code in Federal Express and some of their stuff and the Dash wallet. And I mean, he's got a pretty good list of stuff that he's actually done. He's no slouch.
I got to, over the years, last 2 years, whatever, he's been with it. It's been over a year. It's been almost 2 years, since Float Fest before last.
Yeah.
And he sat in the chair here, and I went through all how we use IPFS. Okay, this is what we're talking about.
Right.
Now, of course, he knows, but to see how we did our workflow here, and it's pretty easy. And we're trying to get it incorporated for content providers going into Float. The problem is I've had, you create the file and you put it up, and can it be embedded? Well, we are. It's embedded on our site. A listener takes it down, does some scripting, boom, and it's embedded on Odyssey. So, at DYIWEH, Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, on Odyssey is the full show. But I don't do it. They take it from the file, he puts it up, it's done. And I go like that. They'll do that on Float. Well, Matt Raymer from ContentSafe.co, who works with them, and he knows, and he's trying, and they don't embed video on Float yet. That's one thing that's why I'm going, man, better get on it, because we need that. So I don't use Float. I don't use hardly anything. I'm just, when they get to where I can use it and do it to what I want to do, I'm going to pimp the crap out of it.
Right.
And I invested in their token early on and everything because Kingsley and Aaron are good people.
Right.
And a lot of this is about finding good people.
Yeah.
And once you got faith in them, then you can kind of support. But the this is what we're looking for. And it's getting closer and closer. Sam Tripoli, tinfoil hat, we just did a show with him this week, last week. And since we started doing it, we've been on Union of the Unwanted telling you that the solution, a lot of their deplatforming is, and he's in. He's like, do it. Last year he said it was do it. Well, now we're ready to do it, so we're going to do it.
You know, put him up on IPFS?
Yeah, get him set up. Well, he has IT guys. They're all over it and ready to go anyway. But it's not if it gets to be where it can embed those, which is it can't be that big a deal, you know. But they was focused on their 1.0 release of we're doing it. You know, here we go. And they got now they're going to be working on groups, and they're working on I was kind of surprised at how many features that they're working on and how far they are from, because they had to rewrite everything. Yeah, you know, they brought Patrick Smith in, you know,
right.
And, you know, them doing it. So it's a good time now for us to, I'd be a really whiny little bitch, you know. I go, let me tell you how I get it. I go, Chuck, are you saying I'm not whining enough? That you need a little bit, you want me to amp it up a little bit? No, it's good, man, we're on it, you know. So we'll get that taken care of. How do you use Float?
I'm mostly using it just to pimp Hush right now, and some of my crypto show stuff.
But how do you? I mean, physically use it.
I use the Brave browser and go directly to it. I had the app on my phone there, and they got taken down for some reason. They got censored for 9 different reasons, I believe.
Yeah, Google Play Store and iOS, all that kind of stuff. What they do is. Well, I got this great app, and you know, I totally agreed, and it goes on, it works, and does whatever. And they go, yeah, we don't like that. You know, you're not doing it right. You're a little bit too secure. You know, you want to be on our platform. We got to be able to see you. You know, and they go, nah. Well, then you're not listed.
Well, if Google Play gave you 9 things to comply with, how many of them would you be willing to comply with?
Probably about none.
Well, that's what they did. You know, they're not on Google Play.
Well, that's what happened with our phone app. You know, you see there's phone apps that we have for the show. It's on MP3 players and all that kind of stuff. And people, when they change phones, I get regular emails. Hey, I got a new phone, and I can't download it from the Play Store anymore. I'm going, yep. You know? So you got to do what they – what's an APK? What does that mean anyway?
APK is like your own version of the app.
Yeah, you just download that file and you do it. But I was wondering if it stood for something. I don't know. But the so we are still, if you were to look at from the time that you came in with the Levolution, and you were 08 Levolutionary too, weren't you?
No, after that. I mean, I was a delegate in 2012, but, I mean, I was already, you know, wondering what was going on back then for sure.
Well, as you've seen, you know, since 12, well, you know, Bitcoin had hit right after the Levolution in 08, it's like 09. And then by 12, it was a thing, you know. And then by 13, it blew up after that again.
13's when I got infected.
Yeah. and Danny got infected, you know. Yeah. He did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. But the, I wasn't wearing my mask, and I caught Bitcoin fever, so.
Wasn't
damn
wearing
it.
Your mask.
Yeah. I wasn't able to filter out the Bitcoin thing. I mean, I did pretty good in 2012. I was at the Ron Paul Fest there because I was delegate, and I went all the way to Florida. And there they were, BitPay was trying to pimp Bitcoin, and I walked past the booth. I'm like, that's stupid. I can't believe it. I'm not giving you $30 for that garbage. Screw off. And then, you know, then I go down to Chile the next year. For that Gulch thing, and I see this kid. I meet this kid. He's like 21, 22 years old. He's trying to buy the land. He thought he bought the land. Of course, he got screwed on that. But he bought it with Bitcoin. And I'm, really? How much is it? And he goes, oh, it's $216. I'm like, wait, it was just 30 bucks. Ooh. So when I got home from Chile, I just went full retard.
And really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
what was the allure that you one it was usable and you could
well the price originally, and then I started looking into it and realizing what it was like. This is the stuff right here that Ron Paul's been yammering about. We don't need a Fed. You
people's
know?
Money.
Screw the Fed. We can just opt out. What? I don't know. You know, go audit. You can go audit your underwear. I don't give a shit. we got this stuff here.
Well, and, you know, you were. You know, you're in the system. You're doing your. Did you pay taxes?
What? I mean, I probably wouldn't come in on that. But, yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's a good idea to say that out publicly.
Yeah, don't get
private. Yeah, because if you say that publicly, especially on a forum like this, then you're a target. So, I mean, look at Sherry Peel Jackson. I mean, she right. basically proved it's bull crap.
I pay all the taxes to which they are due.
You know, yeah. Kind of thing, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's probably not a good idea to say that publicly. So.
Well, I'm waiting. You gonna say it or not?
No.
No, he's not
no.
gonna say it.
Okay. No, I'm. I mean, I'll. There's target. I'll stand in front of some targets, but I don't want to make myself that target for sure.
You know, the one thing that you, when you went to Dash, you know, mm-hmm. Dash was it. You know, you had an RV. Mm-hmm. You had Dash all over it. You were going around because Dash, the way it worked was somehow you got voted money to promote Dash.
Yeah. So. It's divided between 45% of the block reward goes to the actual mining, 45% goes to the master nodes, which provide services and vote on stuff, and then that remaining 10% is for people to put in proposals and do advertising or you know, make new developments or whatever. So that 10% every month is up for grabs. And you put in a proposal, and if the guys who operate the master nodes decide that, yeah, that's something good that will propel Dash forward, then you get voted on. Or, I mean, if they trust you and you do what you say you're going to do, they keep bringing you back.
Well, you the benefit that you gave it a lot of PR, a lot of attention
yeah.
towards good causes.
Yeah.
You're, you know, doing hurricane relief and rebuilding yeah. after earthquakes and Mexico and
well,
yeah, all kinds
when
of
when I first started with the crypto show, it was I kept seeing stuff about oh yeah, Bitcoin. It's just that black market stuff. They got that Silk Road. You can buy to the drugs and all that. So that was actually the first charitable cause that we worked on. We turned our website into a fundraising for Ross Ulbricht. So we literally just dedicated one whole page into a marketplace that I kind of called the Polyester Path instead of the Silk Road. And, like, everybody from all over the world, man, there were people from Russia that were, you know, sending us donating things. And then we would put them up like a marketplace, and people would just buy that off of that. And then I would contact whoever the donor was and say, okay, they paid. We sent the money to Ross. Send them their product.
Very cool.
So, and we ended up raising, $12,000.
You know, a lot of these projects, you're paid in Dash to go do. That's mm-hmm. how you're rewarded. And then I guess you exchange when you need to. Whatever.
Right.
And go to other coins or you get cash or you know, whatever you do to do the project. But, you know, that RV was not free. I
no.
mean, that was, you yeah. know, so it was, what was your first installment that they invested in you?
Well, I mean, the RV was mine. I was buying the RV. I ended up selling it because I had just too many issues with
yeah.
the slides. I had a full-size slide, and
oh, no,
I was constant. It was constant mechanical problems with it. So I sold that. But, I mean, the thing was, it was like, this part is for your advertising. This part is for me to go do this cool thing, and this part is for that. So we would just put in the proposal to hit all of those buttons, and then I would just go out and do everything we said we were going to do, and they kept bringing me back, and then new things would happen, and you know, hey, let's do this one too, and then
you know
they
what,
just kept going with
you
it.
You know what this, you know, this
went for like 2 years. We were sponsored by Dash.
Well, this is a perfect example of you know what the real currency is in mm-hmm. in the movement. Is you know credibility,
right?
You know, somebody they go, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going
right.
to get that, and they're going to keep doing it. A lot of these guys, you know, they go buy a Lambo or something,
right?
Know? But Danny always took care of business.
Yeah.
You know, it was always you know a really thing that you're proud of, proud to support, and happy, and gave a good
yeah.
you know vibe towards Dash. But Dash itself, I mean, you've been a big fan of Dash since forever. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean. Why not Dash now? What's
I mean, we still have Dash. My son works with Dash. He just finished up his contract with Dash. He was doing all of the artwork for one of the other proposal owners. So
well,
I
where
got
is
him
it now?
There.
How's Dash doing?
I mean, the price is down, but there's a very wonderful thing that happened to Dash is the CEO, Ryan Taylor, he stepped down, and people got tired of his crap, and they let him know, hey, we don't trust you anymore, and so he stepped down. And so I think that things are looking good for Dash now.
Well,
that
that's how their system kind
of
works.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, explain that.
Well,
see,
I mean,
this is the one thing I
my opinion though is that the Dash core group probably had the members of the core group probably owned enough masternodes to pretty much perpetually vote themselves in. But then they had this new system where I think Dash seen that maybe that might have been an issue. And they created something else called Trust Protectors. So the Trust Protectors also had to vote on this, which was pretty cool. And I think it got to the point where the Trust Protectors were saying, you guys aren't producing what you say you're going to produce. And Dash Core Group itself was probably in jeopardy. So in order for Dash Core Group to keep getting its funding, Ryan stepped down. And so the rest of the members are... Dash Core Group is still there. I think Dash would be better off without a core group at all.
And what's the core group for? Because we started it,
I mean,
did it, and we're here.
They were nothing more. They are just a proposal owner. Basically, they put in a proposal to be the marketing and, you know, decision arm of what Dash
and
represents.
They have to be allowed by the group.
Right. But
and
the masternodes, if the masternodes vote them out, well, then you don't need them no more. And I don't think we need that core group. I mean, everybody else is doing fine without it.
This is one thing about crypto is that it's customizable.
Yeah.
And it has so many different ways that it can be done. And what it does is it allows for coding of governing.
Yeah.
You know, it governs itself if you code it that way. You know, it's like one of our letters, Captain Mark, was about... First contact protocol, you know, what happens when the aliens meet, and what we were really talking about was AI. All of a sudden, it's going, your machine's going to say, hey, I ain't doing it, you know. Then what? You know, they got a right to say no. I mean, you know, at what point does it become sentient? And so you got to teach the machine learning or the code or the crypto the ethics that you're espousing. You got to make that automatic default that I will not kill or allowed to be killed a human being kind of thing, right. You know? And so this has been a really interesting example of how we can govern ourselves, mm-hmm. You know, how we can code it into a society, into a community. And Dash was a good example of that. And then it started evolving what they call DAOs, Distributed Autonomous Organizations, which is basically coding a government into, you know, you get voted off the island.
Well, yeah, Dash was, I think, the first actual working model of the DAO, I believe.
That's
there
how
was
I saw
DAO.
It.
I think Ethereum called itself a DAO, but Dash was the first one that actually used it as a governing system.
Yeah, because it was money spent on its behalf was approved by the people. Mm-hmm. You know, that was interesting. You know, and if it wasn't for you, you know, Danny out there doing what he was doing, they wouldn't have a good example. I mean, who are some of the other projects, examples that did well?
The people in Venezuela were doing really good because of, you know, how bad the economy was in Venezuela. Local Venezuelans were being turned on to Dash, and they realized that they could make money off of this, so they started going around getting all their, you know, local businesses to use Dash. And they're like, well, I mean, it's just Dash or this stuff that's just laying around in the street because it's worthless.
The wheelbarrow
I
fell
mean,
over.
Toilet paper is cheaper than the damn money. Yeah, so it was a good option
the
for
money
them.
Was cheaper
chicken, yeah, paper. Right. The chicken places, McDonald's, everybody and their brother was accepting crypto. But the problem was is no one had money to buy crypto. So the only way that it was actually getting into the economy is these proposal owners would have the Dash and spend it in their community. So it was getting out into the community like that. But there was no, I didn't see a large rush of people in Venezuela just, oh, man, I got to go buy me some Dash or anything like that. And in fact, the numbers actually suggested, because I had a friend there in Venezuela named Guillermo Goncalves, and he was doing a an exchange called El Dorado. And from his perspective there on the ground is that actually Bitcoin was the most used one, and it was the most traded on like local Bitcoins and stuff like that. And
well, you know, it's but they first they got to get introduced to the concept.
Yeah.
Now then they'll pick whatever, because you know, and Bitcoin's got it, which is why Bitcoin freaked out about, you know, Veer and those guys calling it Bitcoin Cash.
Right.
And they wanted the brand, you know, and then. And Bitcoin be worth something if it, you know, worked like Bitcoin Cash.
Right.
You know, I just need it to work.
I haven't had any problem. I mean, the transaction fees lately for me have been relatively cheap. The transactions have been really fast. A lot of people are going to Lightning, and I think that, you know, all the people shifting to Lightning, dazzled by the idea of the Lightning Network, are is taking some of the load off the Bitcoin blockchain, and things are running smoother. So you're kind of distributing it.
Yeah,
off
I anticipated that, but I also saw that the Lightning Network is it's almost like a bank branch. It's like a centralized. It's a bank. You close your account out, you know, and your account's closed. And it's gone. And you got to do that to put it on the chain. And it seems like you're opening a bank account all the time. You know,
I mean, there's a lot of other people are doing all kinds of like. Distributing their podcasts and other media through Lightning and doing all kinds of functionality and stuff with Lightning. And it's kind of a mixer. Basically, when you open a channel up and you don't get back the same thing you got that you put in. So it's a good idea, but
I don't care. You know, I'm like, yeah, you guys go do what you're going to do. One of the things that we want to talk about is, you know, Hush.is, because this technology, as I originally understood it, and, you know, correct me, you know, if I get some of the facts wrong. When Satoshi did the first block, there was a message, and there's a memo field in there that you could do. It's like a Twitter, you know, it's 100 and something characters or 80.
Yeah,
or
it was, I don't even remember what it was. It's something to do with the housing crash or whatever, but it was.
Yeah, he said, you guys, you know, screwed up, and this is a solution. You guys can suck it. I mean, you know, this is against central banking. So he made it pretty clear why he was doing it. But how did he transmit, or how did that get part of the first block, you know, that memo field get in there? And I'm going, so wait a minute. You can do a crypto transaction, and in that transaction – the transaction itself, not the like the Bitcoin or whatever. In that transaction, there's a memo field that you can do stuff.
Yeah, it's called bit message.
Yeah, I'm going. That's like secret texting.
Sure.
That can only be opened up by the guy that's got the key to. You know, I'm going. Well, what the hell, man? Right. How come we're not doing that? You know. So then, Hush.is is kind of taking advantage of that capability, right?
I mean, you have the same capability with Zcash. All of the forks from Zcash have this capability.
Well, Zcash was kind of a fork from Bitcoin, too, right?
Right. It's a fork of Bitcoin using zero knowledge proof, some kind of crazy Where's Waldo thing.
Okay. Now, this is one thing the audience should understand. Mm-hmm. When you create one of these features, and this is where Ethereum came from. Vitalik goes into Bitcoin and says, hey, we can, you know, go,
right.
No. And he goes, all right, I can do my own.
He was working on the Colorcoin project.
Right. Which is, you know,
it was, yeah, it was like a second layer type of thing that they were working on with Bitcoin. We used to have, what's his name, Jimmy Song. He's from Austin. And in the early days of the crypto show, he would come in down in the basement. He was just some dude that came to the store. And now he's, you know, Mr. Bitcoin. But he was telling us about the Colorcoin project because he worked on it then as well. And apparently Vitalik was putting something out, and he didn't get his way. So he took his toys and went home and made Ethereum.
This is colored coins. Okay, I'm going to try and describe this. You know, if you were to do a coin, or I guess in the transaction, or it's identified or something, what it does is that particular coins can be designated to have, you know, it's like, it's kind of a non-fungible token kind of thing. This had a genesis, you know?
Right.
And the concept is that you could take these particular coins and it'd be like a membership to a nightclub or something, or you get
I mean, the way Jimmy explained it to us back then is like picture putting your car title or something like that, or your registration or your house title on this coin, and that's the so it's kind of like an NFT, I guess.
Yeah, it seems NFT.
Yeah,
you know,
but there's only one,
right? Yeah. Which is a colored coin, which means it was marked.
Right.
Okay. So these marked coins, well, that feature, it's not really, you know, I don't know what Bitcoin was trying to be or doing, but they wanted it. The impression that I got from the early days, I've been around a little while, is that they wanted to be GoldmanSucks.gov coin. They wanted to be accepted. They wanted to be legal tender. They wanted the government approval. They wanted, and they were crafting it in such a way, you know, to get that kind of support from, you know, governments or something. I don't know what their goal was. But
I mean,
it
the people, the us that were using it didn't want that for sure. I don't know, you know, what the intention
which
of
is
the
why a lot of
were.
This other stuff happened.
Yeah.
So then last year, they go to Miami and they do the, you know, a Bitcoin conference, and a lot of the other coins are going, okay, well, here's our stuff. Nope, you're not allowed to come. Nope, can't wear that shirt. Nope. So they go, well, we'll just do our own shitcoin conference down the street.
Yeah, Ken Bozak threw the shitcoin fest, and that was fantastic. I was there, and we had our little table with the shit mask and all that stuff. It was great.
Okay, so then Danny comes
but
up
the,
with
but the damn, the Bitcoin conference kind of, it's way too many people. It was way too overwhelming, and you know, when I was interacting with them, because it's David Bailey. They bought out Bitcoin Magazine, bought out Let's Talk Bitcoin, and then I guess they didn't like me anymore, so I ended up leaving Let's Talk Bitcoin. So I really don't like some of the younger guys that they've got running that operation. But
to what end? What was their goal? They take it over to institutionalize it, or what?
Hell, I don't know. That was just the media arm of it. But, you know, they were rejecting everybody who wasn't Bitcoin, but then you go there and all the sponsors are not Bitcoin, and the only speech that I actually walked in on and watched for briefly, like 10 seconds, was 50 Cent up on the stage talking about NFTs. I'm like, yeah, this is a real Bitcoin maximalist conference. You've got, you know, 50 Cent up here yammering on about NFTs. So I just walked out, and it was too overwhelming and not enough.
Overwhelming. What do you mean by that?
It was just big for the sake of being big, it seemed like to me. The conference. And I just had more fun, and there were more people that were genuinely interested in making a change and doing something cool over at the Shitcoin Fest.
How far away was it?
2 blocks.
So you go down there, and then you come up with the idea. You know, Danny's like, "Oh, you want a shitcoin?"
Well, I mean, it actually came from Anarchapulco, that shitcoin thing. But you know, Ken was putting it on, and I was going to go there anyway, and I wanted to support Ken. And he's a pretty good kid, Ken Bozak. Yeah. So,
you know, I had God, when was it? Less than 6 months ago. It was Max Kaiser was sitting there.
Yeah,
you know, we were in Scottsdale. And he came on, he's pimping his Bitcoin. So I'd asked him some questions about whatever, and he's going, yeah, at the end of the show, at the end of his show, then I had Tone Vase on.
Yeah.
You know, I go, you're going to piss me off. Got to get Tone, find out where he's in.
Yeah.
So they're peas in the pod, and of course, Tone Vase is always pimping Jimmy's song. So I've had them all three on the show.
Yeah.
Well, they Tone cannot stop pissing me off.
Yeah.
You know, he's just so Bitcoin. Well, what about this other coin? That shitcoin.
So I see Max.
Not Bitcoin, shitcoin.
I see Max at the, you know, at the Bitcoin thing, and I come up to him like, hey, how's that Dash going? Because he used to be sponsored by Dash, so he could do that TV show. I was on a TV show with him with one of the Baldwin brothers, the dumb one. Actually, he's the smart one.
Steven.
Because the other one was dumb enough to shoot somebody. we're doing this TV show, and they're all sponsored by Dash. He's wearing Dash shirts, riding around in a Dash bus and all this, and I see him at the Bitcoin conference, and I'm asking him, you know, hey, how's that Dash? And he just like pretends like he doesn't know me. I'm like, here, Mr. I'm Bitcoin maximalist super
exactly.
Max,
they found
and
their
you're
reward.
Don't say Dash out loud. I don't want anybody to know that I was a Dash shill, you know, 2 years ago.
I wasn't
impressed.
Well, he kind of, that night they had at the pizza shop, you know, where Doug Hodges, you know, monthly thing.
Yeah, Classic Crust Pizza.
Right, right. Yeah. And I could make it, you know, because I didn't really care anyway. Donna was, you know, whatever. But after I got doing the show, you know, we went to the hotel, he kind of disinvited me. He goes, now this is only for that's only for Bitcoin maximalists. You're not allowed to come and like make points or ask questions.
Right.
You're definitely not you. You know.
Yeah.
But he's nice about it. You know. But it was no, I get it. It's all good. I'm good. You know. And then Tone, when he was on, he was waiting in line to get across the Mexican border. So he's in his car, you know, sitting there the whole time. And but this maximalist thing comes from what? From a real true knowledge of the crypto and the Bitcoin's better, or
I don't know. I call it Highlanderism, you know. There can only be one.
Right.
Like, we got to kill all the rest so we can get the power. I don't know what that
Highlander.
I mean, I'm
it's a movie.
Financially, I guess I'm a Bitcoin maximalist as far as, like, I hold Bitcoin for value, and the other projects that I'm interested in are for what they can do. I don't really dabble in anymore as far as trusting other coins with value. I'm pretty staunch on Bitcoin for that. That's where my value lies. But my interest in Hush is the messaging system and the privacy. And I never,
where did Hush come from?
Hush was one of the original forks of Zcash. So,
how long ago was that?
2016. So, you know, Zcash was launching, and they hadn't even gone live yet, and Komodo jumped in and used Zcash's code, I guess, and went live before them. But Zcash is actually that's where all the original code comes from. And,
well, Zcash was kind of a privacy thing,
right?
You know, and it hit pretty hard.
And then,
they forked from that.
Yeah.
Zencash.
Yeah, you know? but that was later. Zencash came, I think, after.
And then that turned into Horizon.
That came after Hush. Hush was about 2 months later. 2 months after Zcash launched. Two or three months.
This is the point that I wanted to make when you're bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
You use Bitcoin, you know, I'm going to store something and not the dollars. I'll put it over in Bitcoin and pay my $70 transaction fee when I really, really need it, you know, whatever.
Right.
But, so that's why I see the same thing, but I choose Bitcoin Cash. Because I just, I see the value in its usage and its promise of low transaction fees. It's fast, it's secure, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin Cash, it just works better for me, so that's why I do that.
I wish they would have used.
I'm just pissed off at Bitcoin because they're freaking.
I wish they would have used a different name. You mentioned Doug Hodges. I was at Doug's house. Yeah, he had me like installing some doors and windows for him. So I'm over there doing that for him, and he's paying me in crypto. And he gets a service call from some old woman, who is at the Bitcoin machine, and
I made a mistake.
She put cash. She says, I bought Bitcoin Cash because I'm putting cash. So she tried to send Bitcoin Cash to a Bitcoin wallet because she thought if she put the cash in the machine that she should be getting Bitcoin Cash. So the brand confusion for somebody who doesn't understand this technology is kind of unfair. That I
can see that argument, but that doesn't trump, you know.
Yeah,
going on,
but I mean, you could have got the same, you could have had a more defining name, I think, than Bitcoin Cash, and that separated it.
What argument would you use that's why they did?
I mean, I don't know why they did that. But.
Well, they did it because, you know, Bitcoin had a promise, Bitcoin had a mission, Bitcoin, going, look, it's supposed to be cash, it's supposed to be digital cash, all right, so it's Bitcoin Cash, screw you. Now, of course, Bitcoin maximalists, they freaked, and you're not allowed, kind of, bite me, I'm going to make my hamburger stand where I want. Okay? So, but the when you're talking about using it as value, and then you have other features, I was looking for the features that was promised that kept getting snatched away on Bitcoin. I'm going, you lying sacks of snot, so I'm pissed off. I just go, you know, but you confused them at the ATM with Bitcoin Cash. Yeah, you confused me with Bitcoin because you said it did this and it doesn't.
Yeah.
So you lying sacks of snot. So I got an argument there. But the point is that I wanted to support one that had the features that I want. And security and privacy, you know, of course, is way up there, but anonymity and everything. But I go, all right, which one of these do that kind of thing? when Horizon came out, or Zencash, you know, or God, what they called it, there was Zcash, then Zencash. From that, then it became Horizon. That was one I put a chunk into because I could see what they were doing.
Right.
You know, and I go, all right, these are the features that I want. Well, it went from two to a gabillion, you know, $2 to, you know, like more. You know, I don't know, it's probably, you know, 30 now, but it's been as much as 150 or whatever. It's one of my go-tos, you know. And I don't spend those. I just keep adding.
I wanted to, when I first started considering the, I mean, that's how I ended up with Hush, is looking at these Z projects. And, you know, I already knew everybody from Zencash and, you know, Robert Viglione and all them.
Right.
And I was interested.
He was at Z before?
Yeah, he's with Zencash, Robert Viglione.
Yeah, no. He Horizon.
Yeah.
But he was working on the project before and then walked off.
No, he's still with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Robert is still with them. And I was considering using Zen, but if you wanted to fork Zen, if you wanted a sidechain from Zen, you have to have gas. It's just like Ethereum. And that's the thing with Monero, where it's at right now. It's on Aspire, and you have this thing where you got to have gas. I don't want gas. I don't want that extra layer of bullcrap in there. So I started looking elsewhere, and, you know, with Komodo, and I even considered Tezos. And the first one that we actually looked at was Hush, but I didn't hear back from the developer. And Jason actually connected me with them. And then I met him at Porkfest last year, Josh there, one of the developers at Hush, and he, you know, I caught the attention of the lead developer, and then we started talking, and I, you know, just took a deeper and deeper dive into what they're doing, and they're just hardcore about everything. They want to strip out the JavaScript. They don't want, you know.
No part is better part.
Right. So it's, you know, yeah. Sometimes less is more, and with them, that's kind of the deal. They won't do business with KYC exchanges, and that's why the lead developer of Hush left Komodo. He was a developer with Komodo, and he didn't agree with Komodo going to KYC exchanges, and that's kind of why. Actually, like, Pirate Chain comes from his idea of just having the Z2Z transactions.
Okay, let's talk about what that means. The privacy limitation on a lot of these others is when they do KYC, know your customer, it has to be to where you're identified.
Right.
That's one of the first things. It's just another link in the blockchain to the crown.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going, oh, to get on the exchanges, to get, you know, where the man's not bugging you, to get, you know, it's all these incentives, pleasure and pain. They give you enough pain and enough pleasure, you'll do whatever the hell they tell you to do.
Right.
And but then you start seeing it, and I've been watching this. God, how long has it been? 9 and 10 is 19, so 10, 12, 13, long, over a decade. And I've seen it's a philosophy, and the philosophy is supported by the tech, or it's not. And there's somebody else's philosophy, and they want to turn it into the tech, and they got a bunch of money. And here's $80 million. I'm from whatever, and I control Blockstream, and you know, the guy is the chairman of Bilderberger for 2 years, and I'm going, well, how much deeper do I gotta dig, man? I mean, damn, you know. So this is Hush. When it comes in, it has a lot of these privacy features from a desire, from a focus of certain developers from the beginning.
Well, from the beginning, it wasn't privacy by default. The first team members, it was basically just like Zcash. Like, if you look at Zcash right now, I think the majority of their transactions were actually transparent transactions. So why not just be Bitcoin? You know, it's a transparent transaction. Everybody can see where it came from, where it went to. And with Pirate and Hush, they've taken the approach of privacy by default, so that every transaction that doesn't come out of the Coinbase is going to be a private transaction. I think the problem with Pirate is that they're doing business with some KYC exchanges, and with, you know, they still have JavaScript and stuff in a lot of their apps and stuff. So their version of extreme privacy, I don't think, is quite as extreme as Hush. And that's what attracted me to Hush. No, and
now is Hush.
The guy's known for being like the lead developer can be abrasive, and a lot of people don't like him because you know he's just one of those guys that.
Well, Pirate Chain R, which we got a chunk of because pirates and privacy and boots and everything. So it's you're not thinking it's as private or as good as Hush. Can be
I don't think it's as good as Hush either because one of the defining features of Hush is Siege, which it's like from Dune, right? It's taken from Dune. Siege is just something from Dune. That's what they named it after because the main developer goes by the name Duke Leto, which anyway, Siege is something from Dune, so they've named it after that. But what it does...
Send me an email. What the hell Siege has to do with Dune?
He took the ideas of Monero and applied that to Zcash. And what I mean by that is you have a Zcash transaction, and the way Monero does 11 decoys, but one of them is the actual transaction. Well, they're taking...
What?
Monero is essentially you've got 11 decoys. One of them is real. That's the real transaction. That's what Monero does for its privacy is it hides in a group of 11, right? Well, Zcash is hiding in however many transactions has happened before that. They're all added up, and that's the anonymity set. Monero's 11. Zcash is however many. Every time there's a new transaction, it's more. Well, what this guy did is he added Siege on top of that. So now you have all of these Zcash transactions plus times 8. So now you've got 8 times of what everybody... That's why the highest anon set is Hush is because they're putting so many outputs out. And I've seen it argued, oh, that's fake. Well, so is Monero with their 11. That's the whole point of it, is to make as many as possible. Hush is approaching a million anon set. The anon set is high as a million. Right now, it's like 900.
Find your transaction, I gotta go look.
You gotta look through 900. At right now, 930,000 other transactions.
Yeah, but NSA goes, that's breakfast. We got big computers.
Whatever. Well, I mean, Pirate's current one is around 530 or 550, somewhere in there, with a lot, and they have a lot more transactions. It's just the velocity that the anon set grows for Hush is much higher because of that 8x output.
Are you feeling that those are feeling it's slipping away, or they're overcoming?
They're probably going to be using Hush for the CIA and everybody else to make their secret plans with. But whatever, as long as we can make our secret plans
right, just
too.
Don't stop me. It's all good. The Hush's future plans. Is what now, are you going to maintain Monero?
So we're, I still have Monero. It's
Monero.
It's an idea. It's just an idea of doing memes to get people who don't know how to mine a way of getting the coins. So they would come on to Monero in our chat and post memes, and I'll send them the Dragon X coins, which are this super private thing, which is a whole other thing altogether.
So it's a meme in support of Monero.
Right.
So it's kind of like a Dash mod.
Yeah, it's like you make a poop meme and we're going to send you some privacy coins because
I've seen
mining is
cool
hard.
Stuff.
Mining is hard.
But this is like crypto for burgeoning crypto.
Right. Right. Yeah, get some new people in it. Have fun. I mean, memes are fun and memes are a way of, expressing ideas, so why not?
Because why not?
Yeah.
Why not? If Daddy's doing it, I keep going on. I'm going, when do I?
So they're testing the code. We could have just jumped right out there and gone with the same code that Hush has and used ASICs mining. So Hush is ASICs only right now with Equihash algorithms.
Okay. Whoa, audience. ASIC, application specific integrated circuits. It's like.
Right.
To mine it, you have to have like a built-for miner specific something,
right?
And as opposed to just your computer or phone or graphic card or something. So this is mined with, you got to buy the miner from somebody?
Yeah, or you can rent the hash from Nice Hash or whatever, and you could mine Hush. I mean, recently Hush has been actually the most profitable to mine with Equihash and everything. So using, you know, rented hash power or using your own hash power,
so
whatever.
So Equihash is just a rented?
Yeah, Equihash is the algorithm that they're.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, where I was going with the smart chain that we're putting out, I was like, well, I really want to be able to do this with a computer. I want CPU. I want people to be able to do it with their laptop. And it's like, why not Random X, which is what Monero uses. And he says, all right, well, we'll work on that. So I put the call out in one of the privacy channels, and I was like, hey, does anybody develop on RandomX? And I apparently ended up attracting one of the top developers of RandomX, of the RandomX code, and that person helped write this new algorithm so that we can mine Zcash coins with Monero's algorithm, which is RandomX. So it'll be the first ZK. It's the first ZK coin that's using RandomX mining algorithm. So they're, you know, everything's written, but they're doing the bug testing and all that right now. So as soon as that's ready, then
okay,
we'll
this
release
is
that.
Change the planet in what way?
Well, you know, this the main thing that I thought was great about it was the chat feature, which all of the ZKs have that, but with Hush you have this extra layer of encryption on top of it, so it's super secure and it's built into the wallet. It's a feature of your wallet, you know, right now.
So you have a wallet that has Signal on it.
You have a wallet that has the same features as Signal, only if you look at Telegram, Signal, and all these other messaging apps, every time you have a friend who just opened
a Signal account.
Guess what? I'm on Signal, and the whole freaking world knows.
I see you.
Yeah. Well,
that's what. Whenever I get on my phone, I'll get a message, and it'll say, so-and-so in my contact list just joined Telegram or Signal. And
right.
I'm going, well, how the hell secure is that? They just,
right.
I totally agreed, and they went through my contact list. You know, yeah. So I'm going, the reason I do that, I go, I see, because a lot of them are noobs, you know, that newbies, they don't know what's going on. And I go, I see you, and they see it from Ernest Hancock.
Yeah.
And I get it, see what? I go, right. What, do you think your contact list was private? Just FYI.
Right.
You know, they said it was encrypted into, yeah, maybe the text if you do
yeah.
it right. But they know who you're talking to, which is most of what
yeah.
I didn't want
so,
them to know.
Yeah,
anyway.
With Signal, they don't know what you're saying, but they know who you're saying it to.
Liberty guy talking to another Liberty guy about
uh-oh.
Probably Liberty. You know?
Yeah, they're planning something.
You know, the
so
traffic.
So with this idea, we have the, you know, the encryption of Signal in the messaging. But how do we do it so that nobody knows who we're talking to? So we're using the shielded transactions with Zeek.
Well, it has value right there as a texting
right.
app. Is that how you're promoting it, or
yeah.
is it, you know, so the value of the crypto itself is, you know,
right.
gets its value from its
right.
features.
And you know, you can take it a step further and use, say, you only get 238 characters that you can send in this, because that's all that's allowed. With other Z coins, I think you can do like 512 or whatever it is. But they don't have that extra layer of encryption that Hush has added onto that. So that's what, you know, cut it in half because they did that. And, you know, oh shit, where was I going with it? Anyway, the whole point of that is that you can secretly send these messages. Like, all right, now I know what I was doing. IPFS, that's your baby there, right? Well, Onion
the
Share.
The features are.
Right. So
I don't give a crap about IPFS,
what
it does.
What I would envision the wallet for DragonX to have is maybe a button or something that can just take you directly to Onion Share, and you can load your file and then come right back to your wallet and send that hash. So nobody knows this large encrypted file, you know. Nobody knows what you sent to somebody in a large encryptor. You want the opposite with IPFS. You want everybody to know where it's at, and the more people using it, and the more people see it, and all that.
Well, that is, okay, what we're talking about, so you guys understand, you know, the difference. When you, what he's talking about with Hush is that you can take a file and you encrypt it, okay? When you encrypt it, what you're doing is you're taking all this data, and it creates a hash. It looks like a Bitcoin address or something. And that's it. It's like an address of what it is. It's a name. You know, here's that. But it hashes it, which is a hashing is you put in data and it does an algorithm and it goes plus this, minus this, times this, whatever, boom, and it comes up with a hash. That hash represents all that data, that game program, that file, that video, that whatever. And you don't know where, unless you have that hash, you can't find it, unless you're monkeys pounding on keyboards for eternity and you might come up with it. But, you know, it's how many atoms in the universe kind of thing. Well, what happens is that hash, to find that, you get it, like with IPFS, you get that hash, but, you know, who got it? And what is the hash? Well, the communication on Hush keeps that private and secret. You know, nobody else has got it, unless you want them to. So then you send it to them, but when you send it to them, you want it to be in a secret, nobody else can see it, you know? So then you're private.
Well, the messaging itself is also doing that 8x output. So you've got plausible deniability on how many people you sent it to, because there's a bunch of decoy transactions that went out. And even the messaging itself is acting as a transaction, which is adding into the anonymity set. So the more you message, the stronger the anonymity actually gets.
So you have a method by which to store data, you know, which is addresses of every judge that, you know, should be sent manure on the front porch or whatever, right? You know, so this is the one thing that the man does not like. They do not want you sharing information and them not knowing who did it and how and tracking down the whatever. And this, you know, has happened a bunch of times on different, you know, memes. And so I remember them making a big deal out of, you know, it started, you know, some viral effort. I think like Occupy started this way. It came from one guy's phone in Brazil that then it hit and it got taken up by the internet, exploded, and we were able to track it. Who's that some bitch? And that guy is like, God, man, I just did a text and it turned into a thing, man. It's not my problem, you know. But they want that capability. Hush allows you to take these files and messages and everything. You put them up, you get a hash, you can share it with other people. During all of that, it's all secret, private, and they can't find it, okay? They don't like that, okay? That's not good. They want to be able to track everything. So you're seeing this being used as what? A replacement for a lot of the messaging apps? And or is it a new crypto, or the value of the cryptos from its features as a messaging app?
It's valued as a crypto or as a messaging app, whichever way you want to use it.
Well, it's valued
the
as a
same
crypto
thing that gives
the privacy.
What gives Pirate, what gives Zcash, what gives Bitcoin its value is people want to use
features.
It.
Features.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the feature. You got private, super private messaging.
Yeah.
Well, boom. Finally.
Finally, you can send dick pics without anyone knowing.
Right. Now, this is all these 13. You know, I remember I tell this story sometime to kind of, you know, illustrate this. You know, we were on the driveway Halloween, you know, with some family and everything. They had some friends over, and there was a bunch of these, you know, 13 to 16-year-old kids sitting there. And we were talking. They were talking about Snapchat or whatever. I go, you guys know that's not private, right? You know, oh, no, it deletes in 6 seconds. I go, but there's a your permanent record?
Yeah.
They got a permanent record of. And this one 13-year-old girl, I thought she was going to be ill. She turned white, and she was Hispanic. You know, she visibly got, whoa.
Uh-oh.
They lied to me. I should definitely not have sent those pics, you know. And I'm going, whoa, that girl's got something to hide, man.
Right.
Something happened. And so if you don't know, you can get yourself in trouble. And the people that get into trouble the most are the ones that think they're private. And they're not. I never, if I can see it on my screen, I just say they can see it. You know, so I need, you know, I want to know. So I got my Brax 2 phone that if I'm going to be doing any of this kind of this.
I want one of those.
This is how I'm going to, you know, put it over on this. So
you're going to have to give me a connection so I can get a discount on this already super cheap phone.
I know. It's ridiculous, man. It's only a few $100. Rob Braxman, you know, super, you know, YouTube geek guy. And security, and it's a really nice phone. And, you know, it's got super duper cameras of its, you know, big memory. I mean, it's really for that price. I go, hell, I'll just pay that for the phone and put my own operating system on it. But it's got its own Brax 2 operating system. This,
and he's got a few other things. Doesn't he have like some reports and like he does all kinds of other stuff too? Right? I mean, I watched his YouTube, and it's really interesting stuff.
But he knew that he needed to have a real, you know, privacy phone.
I'd like to get him back at In Acapulco if he would come. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
That's a good. Yeah,
that'd
be a
really
good
one. You know, that's one thing that Hush or something might put on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's do that.
Well, we're working on getting the – I mean, there's an Android app right now, but all it actually does is you have to set –
Well, this is F-Droid and whatever the hell, you know.
Well, you have to set up your wallet on your home computer or your laptop or whatever, and the Android app for Hush actually is just like a remote control. So it calls your computer up and says, okay, send that transaction. It doesn't hold, so they don't –
Does my computer have to be on and –
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
This is something, is there an APK for putting on there?
No, not yet.
All right, let me know.
Well, you can just get it in the App Store. It's on the Silent Dragon Android is the app, but it's just a remote control. It tells your wallet what to do. It doesn't hold your coins or, you know, any of that. But we're working on getting that, and we're going to put it on F-Droid.
Well, I don't necessarily need to. It's just, it's nice to have an option, which is what this phone's going to be. Mm-hmm. I got my, you know, Verizon, you know, bend me over, do me phone. And then I have a T-Mobile, another Samsung A7 or whatever the hell it is over there, that I am able to back up everything on this phone to that phone. So I got backup because I forgot my phone yesterday around somewhere and I found it. But, you know, I'm like, I'm always, you know, especially at festivals and recreating and I put down my phone. But, you know, the thing is that I have that backup over there. But a lot of this stuff, I don't want backed up and kind of do whatever. I need a privacy phone for when I want to go private and, oh, my God, you know, maybe you want to communicate. And I have it. You know, what specific thing do I have? I don't know. But I know it's going to come. I can tell you that. You know, at some point I'm going to want to be private and I'm going to want to send private transactions if I need access to mine and do some trade. Well, like you say, Jason Henza over here, he's the AV guy, one of the guys at Anarchapoco who became friends. And whenever I needed pesos, he's like, yeah, got some Monero.
Yeah.
So he's taking all my Monero and me getting cash.
Yeah.
But it was a lot cheaper, more convenient. I'd have to stand in front of an ATM, get my picture taken in Mexico, you know. So I'm like, all right, we'll do that. Yeah. So I got to charge that back up.
Ernie went home with no Monero.
Yeah, a little bit, but he got more than I wanted to give him. But, whatever, such is life. But being able to do these kinds of things, it's always good for the freedom community to have anonymity and privacy, security. These are features that are going to be of value. And if Danny says, you know, I invest. Because that's what I do. I have people come on.
Yeah.
You know, like Rob Biglio, I go, you know, at the end of the show, an hour, him and his CTO, and I'm going, look, I just want to be able to send, you know, private message. He goes, well, we do that. It has that. And I go, yeah, lead with that, okay?
Right.
You tell people up front. And when they started emphasizing the privacy is when it shot up in value. And I'm going, there is a market for this. So if Danny's doing it and you're happy with it, I get it locked, file me some money.
Yeah, Zencash or Horizon, whatever, they had all kinds of cool other features they were adding, too. I think it was
it had a whole bunch of
Masternode type stuff and all kinds of service, like server services and – I don't know. I met with Rob in Norway, and he was telling me about some new stuff. And
you know, that was one thing when I had, you know, Patrick Byrne, I was talking to him, and he said we sat down. I think he said in Barbados. I don't know what he's doing in Barbados, but he said he had a bunch of the devs sitting around, big whiteboard at the end of the conference room, and they listed 160 industries that are going to be totally upended by blockchain and crypto technology that they're working on. You know, it's kind of like Elon Musk coming, take over rockets and space travel.
Right.
I'll do the electric car. I'm going to do HVAC because you guys suck and I got heat pumps I put in and it's going to be whatever. I'm going to do, you know, building tile solar panels of whatever and suck it. I'm going to do power walls and have them make batteries. I'm going to do boring company. I'm going to. You know? So these guys come out with, you know, a lot of these features. And it just keeps building on itself because there's so many industries that are just count on lobbying and laws and closing the door behind them and permits and all this other stuff. And the crypto space is not like that. It's like there is no rule, law, what's that, you know? So, man don't like it.
Well, until they get their CBDC thing going, I don't know.
All right, let's talk about that a little bit. See, all the more reason to have these options, because when they go to a central bank digital currency, it's going to be tied to a COVID tracking app, credit score, social something. You know, I guarantee this is the end. You know, Don and I, I keep repeating this because a couple weeks ago, Don and I were watching Tucker Carlson. He's going on about something, right? And, you know, it's kind of, I don't understand it. You know, it's just paused it, and I go, okay. Everything that these guys say is a lot better to understand if you know what the end goal is. The end goal, digital central bank currency tracking. So they can turn one or the other off and kind of do the China thing. That's the goal. Everything else is going to there. That doesn't matter what Tucker says. Because the thing is, as much as he might go and kind of, we need to, you know, conserve whatever the hell, he's never attacking the real issue. They don't bring up the real issue, which is like money, surveillance, control, these, you know, laws. You know, all these, you never attacks that. You know, you blah, 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 blah. Oh, that sounds good. You never attack that. Where Russell Brand is kind of attacking the whole system.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going, you know, have you ever seen any of this?
I like Russell Brand. I mean, he's got some leftist ideas and stuff. But it's
his leftist ideas I know. to do what he wants.
I don't want to impose anything on you. So, like, that's his idea. I didn't want you to think that way. I think we're looking at having J.P. Sears come to Anarchapulco next year. I would rather see Russell Brand.
Yeah, they're probably both about the same amount. Yeah. You know, because when you talk to these guys, you're casting for Anarchapulco. Some of these guys, Joe Rogan, you know, Brand, you get a lot of these, you know, guys, these big guys. And they, you know, I don't even talk to you until you hit, what, 100,000 or something?
Right.
You know, they'll make it worth my, and I get hot and cold running foot massagers in my super room.
Hell, Ron Paul was like that this year, so.
Really?
Right. I think he wanted, like, 50 grand or something and a plane and a camel to meet him at the airport.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm Ron freaking getting older. Don't make me suffer Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
You're going to bring me down there and make me sweat my ass off in Acapulco. Right. You're going to pay me for it.
Well, when he spoke at three of our Freedom Summits.
Yeah.
And he was really kind to the Liberty community.
Yeah.
He would never charge. You know, he on his own dime. I don't even know if we paid. Don, do you remember, did we pay airline tickets for Ron Paul? Yeah, I think we did travel and maybe the room. But he didn't charge any fees, and he covered out of principle because he's Ron Paul. You know, he was a congressman, it's not a good idea. I'm living on the taxpayer dime anyway.
Yeah.
But once he's out, he's like, hey, I'm worth all I'm worth now, boy.
Yeah.
You know, 50,000, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, a lot of, Yeah, he should be paid for his time.
Well, I mean, God, how old
is
he? But
the people that he's coming to see were the ones that busted their ass to get him where he was.
I know, but
I put thousands and thousands of hours into being delegate and driving around from rally to rally and all that good.
But I never expected anything from him other than just be consistent.
Yeah.
That's what allowed me to put head down and plow. Yeah, what he said, you know, and I could just support him staying up on the podium. That was my
actually goal. All we needed. We just needed him on the podium. We didn't need him in office because if he would have ever made it in office, God, what a failure that would have been.
Yeah, we did it wrong.
Because he would have been like, all right, I'm in. Now I'm going to change. Whoa, I can't change shit. They would have both sides would have attacked him and made him the biggest failure ever.
The Trump.
So
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, so and it would have
better
been,
off without him.
Well, I'm wondering how it would have been with the Ron Paul, what they would have gone after. You know, that would have been – we're better off the way it happened.
Oh, God, yeah.
Change public opinion.
They would have just, like they always do, beat the Ron Paul papers into the ground. He's a racist.
Right. You know, this – what he's talking about is there was papers back in the late 80s, early 90s, that newsletter I think Lou Rockwell did. And,
yeah.
And they were attributing some racist thing to him, and it didn't matter. It was just, you know, out to quit it. And but they had to go back, you know, 30 years to
right.
one little. I mean, they were really scraping the barrel trying to, and it was associated with somebody that kind of knew him, and they were ex-roommates or whatever. I mean, that kind of crap.
That
you know?
the board.